lost all. And so, although she now tries to make good her loss, although she adds one estate to another, evicting a neighbor either by buying him out or by wronging him, although she extends her country seats to the size of provinces, and defines ownership as meaning extensive travel through one's own property, in spite of all these efforts of hers, no enlargement of our boundaries will bring us back to the condition from which we have departed. When there is no more that we can do, we shall possess much. But we once possessed the whole world. The very soil was more productive when untilled, and yielded more than enough for peoples who refrained from despoiling one another. Whatever gift nature had produced, men found as much pleasure in revealing it to another as in having discovered it. It was possible for no man either to surpass another or to fall short of him. What there was divided among unquarreling friends. Not yet had the stronger begun to lay hands upon the weaker. Not yet had the miser, by hiding away what lay before him, begun to shut off his neighbor from even the necessities of life. Each cared as much for his neighbor as for himself. Armor lay unused, and the hand, unstained by human blood, had turned all its hatred against wild beasts. The men of that day, who had found in some dense grove protection against the sun, and security against the severity of winter or of rain in their mean hiding places, spent their lives under the branches of the trees and passed tranquil nights without a sigh. Care vexes us in our purple and routs us from our beds with the sharpest of goads. But how soft was the sleep the hard earth bestowed upon the men of that day. No fretted and paneled ceilings hung over them. But as they lay beneath the open sky, the stars glided quietly above them, and the firmament, night's noble pageant, marched swiftly by, conducting its mighty task in silence. For them by day, as well as by night, the visions of this most glorious abode were free and open. It was their joy to watch the constellations as they sank from mid-heaven, and others again as they rose from their hidden abodes. What else but joy could it be to wander among the marvels which dotted the heavens far and wide? But you of the present day shudder at every sound your houses make, and as you sit among your frescoes, the slightest creak makes you shrink in terror. They had no houses as big as cities. The air, the breezes blowing free through the open spaces, the flitting shade of crag or tree, springs crystal clear and streams not spoiled by man's work, whether by water pipe or by any confinement of the channel, but running at will, and meadows beautiful without the use of art. Amid such scenes were their rude homes, adorned with rustic hand. Such a dwelling was in accordance with nature. Therein it was a joy to live, fearing neither the dwelling itself nor for its safety. In these days, however, our houses constitute a large portion of our dread. But, no matter how excellent and guileless was the life of the men of that age, they were not wise men, for that title is reserved for the highest achievement. Still, I would not deny that they were men of lofty spirit and, I may use the phrase, fresh from the gods. For there is no doubt that the world produced a better progeny before it was yet worn out. However, not all were endowed with mental faculties of highest perfection, though in all cases their native powers were more sturdy than ours, and more fitted for toil. For nature does not bestow virtue. It is an art to become good. They, at least, searched not in the lowest dregs of the earth for gold, nor yet for silver or transparent stones. And they still were merciful, even to the dumb animals. So far removed was that epoch from the custom of slaying man by man, not in anger or through fear, but just to make a show. They had as yet no embroidered garments, nor did they weave cloth of gold. Gold was not yet even mined. What then is the conclusion of the matter? It was by reason of their ignorance of things that the men of those days were innocent. And it makes a great deal of difference whether one wills not to sin or has not the knowledge to sin. Justice was unknown to them, unknown prudence, unknown also self-control and bravery. But their rude life possessed certain qualities akin to all these virtues. Virtue is not vouchsafed to a soul unless that soul has been trained and taught, and by unremitting practice brought to perfection. For the attainment of this boon, but not in the possession of it, were we born. And even in the best of men, before you refine them by instruction, there is but the stuff of virtue, not virtue itself. Farewell. Letter 91. On the Lesson to be Drawn from the Burning of Lyon. Our friend Liberalis is now downcast, for he has just heard of the fire which has wiped out the colony of Lyon. Such a calamity might upset anyone at all, not to speak of a man who dearly loves his country. But this incident